I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly podcast where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you are joined by Juno Dawson and Dylan B. Jones. And this week, we are very excited because we are joined by our very special guest star. It's Radio 1 DJ and the winner of Strictly Come Dancing 2020. Because I didn't see any episodes after Clara went, it's Clara Amphar!
You know what? That is an introduction that I will happily take. Funny enough, I saw OT this morning, actually, when I was going into work. To do the show, she was on Morning Live with Geffen Jones. It was, I hadn't seen her since the final, so you know, it was a nice little Strictly reunion I had.
But also, Clara, I mean, I think it's safe to say that you are potentially outside of the confines of mine and Dylan's heads, the biggest Sex and the City fan in the world.
Sex and the City is just a show that I will go back to over and over and over again. Like, it actually surprises me how much I don't tire of the episodes. I've got them on demand. Shout out to Now TV. Give us some sponk on.
They're sponsoring this pod. They are sponsoring this podcast. Thanks, Now TV.
Thank you, Now TV. But you know, even when it's not like on demand, if it's just on TV randomly, I will just watch it. Like, you know, in the past when we could fly places. Remember when we could fly? If the film was on a service, I'd watch it, like, just because it's quite comforting, almost, like, being fully aware of what's going to happen, like, minute by minute. And even with that, the second film that we kind of don't talk about, occasionally we'll still watch, even though it just, with every watch, it's like, how the fuck did they get away with this?
How did this happen? We were really, Juno and I were really glad when they announced the reboot, because we always thought, like, oh, this podcast is really amazing, but we'll have to end on that second film. And, like, what a damp, like, way to end. But now we've got the reboot, so we can carry on with that.
When they announced the reboot, I had Clara's colleague, Steve Holden, in my WhatsApp saying, I've got to speak to Clara about Sex and the City, and I've never seen it. What questions would questions would catch out a superfan? And I was like, well. And I sent him about 93 questions, of which I think he asked you three.
So it was you behind the quiz. Okay. Okay, all right. Everything makes sense now because the questions were very niche. I think I passed them all. And the only one I didn't want to answer was because of Donald Trump. And, well, I think that's okay.
That's, yeah, more than understandable.
Thanks.
We always said a great Sex and the City pub quiz question would be, like, to name... I don't know if I can do it now, would be to name all the characters' dogs. So name, like, every dog in Sex and the City.
Oh, gosh.
To be honest, I don't think I can remember. There's Elizabeth Taylor.
That's all I got. Yeah.
Scout and Fatty Miranda.
And what was the name of Samantha's little one that she got?
Yeah. Did it have a name?
Oh, no, I can't remember. We've all failed, yeah.
We better do our Googles.
This week, we have reached Season 3, Episode 15, Hot Child in the City. As is customary, Dylan, do you want to give us a little synopsis of what happened this week?
So this week, this is one of my top five favourite episodes ever. I love it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know Juno's a bit unsure, but we'll get into that. So Carrie's single, which is always a fun time, and she meets Power Lad aka Wade Adams, and they go scootering, they go to an arcade bar, they smoke weed, and it's like a whole mood. Samantha is doing the, is it bat mitzvah for Jenny Breuer?
Oh, shout out to young Kat Dennings. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Kat Dennings.
Incredible. Yes. So even good. At that age, she was so, so good.
Miranda gets braces. And Charlotte and Trey struggle with Trey's erectile dysfunction. And we meet Rebecca and Schooner for the first time. So yeah, there's a lot. Like, there's a lot of like hilarious stuff in this episode.
I think you are so right. I think Sex and the City sometimes works best when Carrie is single. And I know we probably wouldn't have stuck around if it hadn't been for Big and Aiden and Berger. But the when Carrie has these weird little adventures, like, can you remember there was the alcoholic? There's sooner or later she ends up going out with David Duchovny for a week. Just like all these random little men. And it is ridiculous. And yeah, this week she meets Wade, who is played by the mononym Kane.
Wait, so he's just called Kane? No,
the actor is called Kane, like Cher. Yeah, okay. Like
he flipped it. Right.
Okay.
I
was going to say.
I found him, and I'm afraid it only gets worse from this point in. He's called Kane Peterson, and he's a big Donald Trump fan.
Surprise, surprise. Do you know what? He had that look about
Why
him.
Can't we have nice things?
Yeah, I know, but come on, look at his teeth. They were so jacked up. Of course he's a...
Trucker. Yeah, true.
Even, yeah, for someone on television in America, that's so unusual to see bad teeth.
Right?
And yet. And somehow, the question that the three of us have to try and answer this week, which is possibly one of the hardest questions that we've ever had to really deal with because it's so nonsensical, is... Are we 34 going on 13? Yeah, so we'll come to the question later. First of all, let's just make fun of yes, Mrs. Adams.
And I'm taking it with me.
Yes!
With me.
I mean, yeah. We are so critical of Carrie, So I Got to Thinking. But the line, and I'm taking it with me when I leave, is universally brilliant.
I enjoyed her a lot in this episode because I find with Carrie and the relationships that she's had, even, yeah, whether it's like a long relationship or like one of her sort of like little like one episode adventures, she kind of oscillates between super, super, like almost, I don't want to say bratty, but actually, no, I'm going to say bratty. She can be like really, she can either be sort of brilliantly defiant / bratty or kind of submissive towards the guys that she deals with. And I think this is one of those great examples of her just taking those shit and just being like, well, fuck you then, which I liked. Like, because she was sort of like that with, do you remember the jazz guy? Do you remember the musician that she dated who wanted to play her? And I think, didn't he have like ADHD or something? So he couldn't concentrate. And then so she was like, fuck this, and just like walked out and like left into it. And I liked the fact that with this guy, she was just like, because obviously he blamed her for smoking weed in his fancy apartment.
He threw her under the bus.
Literally catapulted her underneath the flipping bus. And I like the fact she was like, yeah, fuck you, I'm going to take your weed. Like, bye. Like, that to me is how Carrie, in my dream scenario, would always be, you know? Yeah.
I think that's why I like it so much when she's single. I think it's because the stakes are lower as well. So, like, you know that she's like, dating this guy, but she's, like, she's just having a bit of fun. Like, she doesn't care, really.
Yeah.
And, God, when I was watching this episode, I was like, I just want nothing more than to be sitting on that balcony, having Mrs. Adams bring me, like, lemonade and just smoking weed and eating. Like, that is all I want.
Right. I just like carefree Carrie, like that.
And my poor boyfriend. So every once in a while, Max, my fiancé, will sit and watch an episode. Not a fan. And he was...
Call off the wedding!
I know, right? He was quite triggered by the sense that an adult man who is into comic books and video games is portrayed so negatively. Now, I think the issue with Wade, because I loved the scene where Samantha is like, dump him. Here, use my phone. Dump him. Because he lives with his parents. Like, it's not sexy, is it? Would you guys... date someone who lived with their parents?
It's just really, really tough, you know, to find somewhere comfortable to live, especially like super busy like metropolitan city. It's hard. So I would like to think I wouldn't judge a guy who lived with his parents at a particular age. I mean, is it something that I am personally going out of my way to look for in a guy? Like, hey, I really want you to live with your parents, like, that is ideal. No, it's not. I don't think anybody is. But then, listen, I know men who own property who are terrible. Like, you know, I have dated men who own their own properties who are terrible. And, you know, no, it's true. And, you know, I've entertained, like, oh my God, you know, here's a funny story, actually. I bumped into this guy that I used to see on and off for about a year and a half. And honestly, retrospect, man, I swear down, it is 2020, as they say. At one point in my life, I thought this guy was everything. And he used to live with his parents. And they lived in a big old house in West London. And he lived in the top bit of the house. And, you know, because he was an artist, guys. But you would think that he was in like a student bedsit by the way that he used to live in his parents' like fancy house at Shepherd's Bush. And he was just so undesirable. And the thing is, it's like, and it wasn't because he lived with his parents, it's because of how he lived with his parents, you know? And I could easily meet a guy, I'm sure, and any of us could, anyone you choose to date, like, who can live in a flat share and it could be kept beautifully. Like, it's very dependent on the person. But yeah, it was just funny bumping into him, like, when I did, because I was just like, wow, I really thought that you were... I don't know what point I'm trying to make here. Maybe I'm just therapizing out loud.
That's actually kind of the problem with Power Lad, isn't it? Like, a bit.
It's not that he lives with his mum, it's how he lives with his mum. So you've got your mum waiting on you hand and foot, yeah, for your grown-ass woman that you're dating. And then, you know, you're trying to flex, like, yeah, look at me in my Upper East Side apartment, blah, blah, blah. Isn't it cool that I get to live like this? But then when push comes to shove, you're still afraid of, yeah, your mother at your big age for smoking a bit of weed. Like, fuck off.
Samantha is way too harsh because, especially now in the Pandora, a lot of people I know who are in their early 30s have had to kind of, they've either been made redundant, or they've been put on furlough, and they haven't been able to pay their rent. So I think actually, in 2021, the odds of us going out with somebody living with their parents has just really gone up.
Absolutely, and I think, I would like to think, I feel like people feel each other a bit more these days. Like, don't get me wrong, no one's turned into Mother Teresa overnight, but I think there is just an understanding that life is just tough for most people. So if I was to meet a guy and he was like, look, I can't afford to rent my own place right now, or I don't have my own spot, so I've moved back in with my parents for the foreseeable future, I wouldn't be like, okay, cool, I can't see you.
Yeah.
I think that would be ridiculous.
I think particularly after this, like, if you're sat around in a group of people and someone's like, oh, I don't have a job, like, everyone would be like, yeah, I understand why, like, we've just been through a pandemic. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, with everything, like, I don't have a job or I live with my parents, like, everyone after this will be like, oh, of course, yeah, I understand why. Yeah, interesting. Although one thing I would say is I think it's important to be open. If you do live with your parents, like, don't pretend that you don't. Like, a couple of years ago, I went to meet a guy on Grindr, and he had not mentioned to me that he lived with his parents. And when I came through the front door, I was like, oh, hi. And he was like, shh, be quiet, like, my parents are asleep. And I was like, what? And he was like 20, like late 20s.
Do you know what that reminds you of? Have you ever seen that movie with Uma Thurman and Meryl Streep called Prime? And Uma Thurman is this older lady. She's literally like 33. Oh my God, she's so old. And she's dating this younger guy that's played by Brian Greenberg, and it's set in New York. And Meryl Streep is her therapist. And basically it transpires that the guy that she's sleeping with is Meryl Streep's son. So it's sort of like, oh. And there's one scene, because he still lives with his grandma. And there's one scene where he takes her back to hers. She's like, look, why don't we ever go back to yours? Like, you know, they're like sexy kissing, and like they slam in the door after like a night out at a party, like ready to get on. And like, and then he just hears like, thingy, is that you? And he's like, go back to sleep, grandma. And it's just very much that thing of like, yeah, she's like, oh my God, you live with your grandparents. I thought you said you had roommates. He's like, no, these are my roommates. And like, but yeah, it's just that I think honesty is the best policy in these situations, for sure.
Dylan, did you go through with it, or did you leave?
Do you know what? Like, I did leave. Like, it takes a lot for me to not go through with something. Like, once you're there, do you know what I mean? But, like, but no, I left. Because I hate feeling... One thing I must for me is I have to feel, like, relaxed. and I didn't feel relaxed. It was also more the fact that he had hidden it from me as well. It was that mental adjustment. I was like, you've kind of lied to me here. So yeah.
There are so many questions now I have about this. Did his parents know he was bringing people back?
I don't think so. That's the thing. Well, he was like, be quiet. Like, weird.
Sorry to be crass, but like, what kind of sex was he fucking having? Like,
I mean, very, very quiet sex, I imagine.
Or maybe he had, maybe he had a like kink. The thrill of them maybe like catching you guys, but eventually not. Maybe that was his thing. Who knows?
Well, that was like, well, when Will Arnett was in Sex and the City with Miranda, the guy who likes to be caught doing it. Maybe it was him. Yeah, a very young Will Arnett. Yeah. Let's take our little. We just put in a little ad break, and then we will be back in 2 minutes, and we will discuss Trey's floppy penis. And highly sexed 13-year-old girls. We'll see you in a second.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week, we are discussing Hot Child in the City with special guest Clara Amfo. I'm not sure there is anything else to say about Carrie and Power Lad. Power Lad, I find him uniquely repulsive. I will say that. I don't know what it was about Power Lad. Was it the sleeveless tank tops? Was it the bad comic book? The hair was not the one. Maybe it's that he sold Carrie out. Either way, she is shot of him. And for the next 2 or 3 weeks, Carrie has got a big bag of $400 pot to get through. So she's fine. Let's first of all come to, because I think through Samantha's plot, we can attempt to answer this impossible question of are we 34 going on 13? Clara, I don't suppose by some miracle you were 34 years old.
I mean, you know, babes, I'm 29 plus a little VAT. I'm like Mariah. I have anniversary. I don't have birthdays.
I will never forget when I made the error of asking Monroe Bergdorf how old she was. And she was like, I don't identify as an age. Which is an amazing answer.
That is the move.
I was 28 for such a long time. And actually did manage to convince The Guardian that I was 28 for about 3 years. For 3 successive novels, I remained at 28 years old. And then it bit me in the ass because then I lied to Max when we first got together and he very nearly dumped me. I should, you see, it will always come back to you. So Samantha's plotline is ridiculous. She is hired to do the publicity for a 13-year-old girl's bar mitzvah. It's Jenny Byers, as played by Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls and the Marvel films. She's in Thor and Thor 2. And she's generally amazing as this incredibly precocious.
I think she's such a talented actress. Yeah. And I think, who knows what's going on with Hollywood and X, Y, and Z. And maybe she just picks the roles that she wants in that way. But I feel we need more Kat Dennings in our life. Like she was yeah. just as good as any of the sort of adults in any scenes that she was in the episode. Like she was just so brilliant, which is like, I wanted this, I wanted that, and I want it now, whatever that line was.
Oh, my favorite line of this whole episode, and I've used this a lot with my friends, which is like, using Sex and the City in your day-to-day life is such a mood. And we use this phrase to describe anything that's good. So it can be ice cream or a wall hanging or a fresh winter breeze. And it can be, I would fuck that and its gay boyfriend. Which is, that is the highest compliment you can give to something. I would fuck that ice cream. I would fuck that ice cream and its gay boyfriend. That is the highest compliment you can pay to something.
Just actually shocking. I do love that bit when, like, and I think my favourite thing about that scene is, like, Carrie's kind of just, like, stunned and, like, slash sort of, she's, like, laughing, but she's like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on? It's amazing.
Oh, my God. You didn't tell me you were friends with Carrie fucking Bradshaw. Your column? What'd she say? It's like, it's like, it's my life. Oh my God, my boyfriend was all about the sex. Now he won't even talk to me in the hallway. It's like, how old are you? Jesus.
How old was Kat Dennings at the time?
Let me find out. I will do a Google.
Surely older than 13.
Okay, she was born in 1986. So in the year 2000, she was only 14 years old.
Wow.
So wow.
God, so she was like pretty much the age.
She was really good. But I guess to answer the question, are we 34 going on 30? I absolutely think we are. Like, we're in such a time now where it's so easy to regress, especially in lockdown. Like, I don't know about you, but I have spent a lot of time, as a sort of therapy, just watching a lot of stuff that I did, like, growing up, and just doing stuff that used to comfort me, like, as a 13, 14, 15-year-old. I think everybody has. It's 'cause we literally, like, can't go out. It's like, oh... Okay, like, one of my friends is obsessed with puzzles now. She hasn't done puzzles since, like, she was probably, I don't know, 13, if that. I've got friends who started, like, colouring in again. That's become really therapeutic. I've been rewatching Sister Sister. I mean, obviously, as well as Sex and City. I've been watching Sister Sister, and I've been finding it, like, genuinely, like, really comforting. And it just, yeah, it just feels good. And I think we're in such a good time to be able to do that.
Because, like, Dylan and I both got into Animal Crossing during lockdown one as well, which is literally, you know, playing with little animals on a little island.
The other day I just caught myself, like, I was watching Buffy and playing The Sims, and I was like, oh my God, I'm 14. Like, I'm literally regressed. You're so right, Clara. Like, everyone, I think everyone's doing it, which is just really, I wonder what a psychologist would say.
Because I know, I mean, we'll have announced it by now, so it will now be public knowledge that my next novel in next year is going to be a witchcraft trilogy. And that's because at the beginning of lockdown one, I was supposed to be working on something else. And all I wanted to do was write about witches based on things like The Craft, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And so, yeah, I retreated. I had to stop what I was doing. I was supposed to be writing a terribly serious thriller. And I was like, fuck it. I need some comfort food for my brain. And that's what I had to do. And that's the novel that I ended up writing. So I think there's something to that particularly in times of great, great uncertainty, it figures that we would all go back to a place where we felt safe and comfortable. However, I don't think that's what Wade was doing. I think Wade was a man-child, and that's the word that I knew would come up on this podcast soon. I knew we would have to discuss the notion of the man-child. I think it's easy for him. He doesn't have to pay rent. He doesn't have to cook. And there's a difference between being an adult who retreats to the safety of childhood and being a child who refuses to grow up.
Absolutely. And also, I think you could see, I mean, if we're going to go that deep, like, you could see, like, the obvious codependency him and his mum have with each other, because she doesn't want her little boy to grow up either. And he clearly likes that. And it's just, and the thing is, I think we've all met guys like that. I think we have. You know, I think there absolutely is a difference, like you say, between, like, refusing to grow up and sort of, like, retreating to childhood. And also, I think, you know, when it comes to people and their relationships with their parents, I think there is a difference between, you know, having a loving, mature relationship with your parents where you can retreat to being that child. Like, you know, when I could see my mum, you know, one of my favourite things to do was just like to lie in her lap and she just like stroke my hair. I think loads of people like have that, like, you know, with their parents, and like and I think there's nothing wrong with that. But then there is that thin line between, you know, enjoying the comfort of your parent and sort of not letting go of the nipple. And like this guy's like clearly still well attached, like his mother's tit pretty much. And it was just like, not, it's just not sexy, is it?
Not sexy. Okay. My next question was, Jenny and her friends are very precocious, but I think there is a different way of looking at that, which is, now when we look at people like Greta Thunberg, that actually the younger generation in many ways are more switched on than our generation, because particularly our parents have slightly left today's teenagers with a lot of shit to sort out, with like climate change and all this fucking bullshit, debt and impossible to buy property. Like, by the time, you know, by the time my mum was my age, you know, I was unable to buy a property last year when I was 37. So it's kind of like, you know, my mum bought her first flat when she was like 21. Like, can you imagine a 21-year-old buying a flat? Like, as if. So I think while Carrie and Samantha were quite dismissive of Jenny Byers, I actually look at teenagers now and think, oh my God, you have to save us. You know, you are the future, kind of.
Absolutely. I mean, like everybody in lockdown, I downloaded TikTok because that is my right. My 13-year-old niece is obsessed with it. Well, I've got three nieces. One's 13 and one is 15, and they're both obsessed with TikTok. And I can honestly say, and I've said this before, TikTok has genuinely been a contributor to preserving my mental health during lockdown. I've never laughed as much as I have due to that flipping. I was going to call that stupid little app, but it's not stupid. It's actually really powerful. But with the funny stuff on there has just been an education, I think through humour, through serious stuff. And what's been really like inspiring, like galvanising, and actually the thing that's kept me hopeful is seeing how many sort of like, particularly I'd say like 13 to 18-year-olds are so politically and socially switched on there. Yeah. And just seeing their TikToks to be like, yeah, so we need to protect the planet because da 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 da, or like, you know, Black Lives Matter because da 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 da, or all Black Lives Matter because da 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 da, like we should be protecting trans people because da da da, like whatever subject. And it's actually been heartwarming to see. It's like, you know what, the kids are all right. Like, you know, it's been horrifying too because, oh my God, like the amount of like young kids in there as well who have got extreme right wing views. That has been quite an education as well, but for every sort of like, you know, kid like that, there's been I think three more have been like, actually no.
I anticipated we might. One of my notes that I wrote down was like when I was thinking about Kat Dennings, and I was like, I guess the equivalent now is Gen Z, and like, what are they like? And I think I've got a lot of hope for them. I think they're great. Like they seem chill. They seem switched on. They seem, against all odds, like quite positive, whereas us like bitter millennials are just a bit like just kind of done with it all. Yeah, I agree.
It was interesting that the writers were so dismissive of Jenny and how Samantha had something they could never have, which was a childhood. Samantha, they can't have a childhood because they're gonna have to be swimming because all the ice caps will have melted. Right. The reason Jenny's having sex at 13 is because she has to reproduce now because she's going to be dead of coronavirus in 20 years' time. My God.
Bleak, bleak. Yeah, because how old would she be now? Because that episode came out in, what, 2000? Yeah, so she would be...
2000,
yeah.
So Kat Dennings is 34 years old now.
Yeah.
Maybe they could bring back Jenny Byers in the reboot.
You know what? Juno, that is a fantastic idea.
She's the right kind of famous. I think, yeah, get her in. They should do like a four new women. They should do Amelita, obviously. Carrie, darling.
Oh.
Jenny Byers.
Icon.
What was the name?
I do think Louis from St. Louis needs another turn, because I just feel like, hey, and I said this on Twitter, you just come back and say, look, the bag was ugly. I pretended to like it because you are my employer and I was just a sweet little girl from St. Louis, but I'm grown now. My tastes have, I'm more confident in who I am and about saying no, and I honour my boundaries, and even though you were my boss, I should have said no to the bag because it's ugly. And she's relocated to New York City with her husband. She's now got a couple of kids. She's running a really successful like nannying business or something like that. And I think she could also be part of the quartet for sure.
It doesn't matter what episode we do, we keep staring back to this reboot, because until we actually know what it's going to be like, I feel some quite like low level anxiety about just, maybe not A kids.
I think this will be the final hurrah, though. I can't. Yeah. Or that maybe like, actually, no. I in my gut, I think this is the final thing that they're gonna do, unless by some miracle Kim Cattrall's like, okay, all right, let's just do one-off special when we're like 70, just cause they'll do it. But like, so like Golden Girls almost style. But I feel like this is the final bit. And it's okay. Look, regardless of the outcome, we're all going to watch it. And that's okay. It might not be that good.
Yeah.
And that's okay as well. You know, but I think lessons have definitely been... One thing I know in my gut, I feel like I speak to Sarah Jessica Parker telepathically. I just feel it. Lessons have been learned. She's not stupid. She's savvy. She's online. Like, she replies to people in her comments. They know what people said about the second film. They've listened, they've taken notes, and I suspect that this is going to be far better. I don't want it to be, I want there to be some nuanced change, but I don't want it to be so wild. It's just like, see, look guys, we're making a point. I think it can be done tastefully. So I'm intrigued to see, like, you know, how it turns out. Did you see that
there was rumours in the tabloids last week that they're going to draft in Caitlyn Jenner?
No, not that Carrie.
No.
She's not the one.
No.
Say it could be Caitlyn fab. Jenner. Janet Mock could be fab. I think she'd be a good fourth. She'd be great. Or a Viola Davis, she'd be fab as well. Like, I mean,
I said maybe like Vanessa Williams as the Samantha character could be fab.
Vanessa Williams, I still don't think gets enough roses. I think she's just a consistent legend.
Good. Shall we finish up with Rebecca and Schooner?
Oh my God. That's one of my favourite lines in Sex and the City ever, just because it's so ridiculous. And then what did she say? Like, you rip off my something and then you put your schooner.
You rip off my gossamer petticoat and you plunge your schooner deep into my Rebecca.
One of my favourite bits about it was just how quickly, when the therapist said, like, what's your vagina called, Charlotte was like, Rebecca. Like, very quickly was like, yeah, Rebecca, yeah. Like, she just...
Of course, like, essentially, Charlotte's vagina is called a Becky. I just love it. It just, you couldn't make it up. Rebecca.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what question is coming. You know what I'm going to ask. And we'll start with Dylan. Dylan, what would you call your genital region?
Oh, my God. I didn't anticipate this question.
How did you not anticipate this question?
Maybe for some reason the name Zach is in my head.
Okay.
Like Zach.
Zach, that's powerful.
Clary, you are a guest, so I'm not going to make you name your genitals because you are a guest in our house. But if you want to, please do get involved.
Well, I'm pretty sure I just heard you say the word and it inspired me. So I think I'd call mine... Call mine Cherish.
Amazing.
My Cherish.
Now, see, now here, so we already have one in our house. Now, Max's mum, please stop listening. I know you listen. I mean it. Switch it off now. She's still listening. I can tell she's still listening. I'm not going to carry on until I know you've switched off, Max's mum. Okay, in our house, and it's a different, and it's from Sex and the City, mine has always been my Pusita, which is, of course, what Maria. So, Sex and the City to the rescue once more. I mean, poor old Charlotte discovering Trey and his copy of Juggers.
I lost it when it, like, zoomed in on, like, the pictures of her glued in and she's, like, turning around like that in one of them. I was like, this is so ridiculous. Also, like, I mean, all power to her for, like, really trying everything. But, like, would that work? I don't think that would work.
And that's just some effort, because it's like, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to your goodie drawer, I'm going to get out your porno mag, I'm going to select the pictures of me that I like the best, then I'm going to cut around them carefully, because Charlotte is quite crafty, you know, she's an art lover. She's not like she just jaggedly cut it out. She did it carefully. Then I'm going to get some, like, PVA glue or some sellotape, and I'm going to carefully place them in every picture in this magazine so you can come on it. Like, really? Actually, no, to be fair, like, I think he actually kept the come away because he was turning the pages, like, quite easily in the scenes.
Yeah, true.
it's just ridiculous when you think about the effort. But then that is Charlotte. She's a woman dedicated to tradition and dedicated to marriage.
And she was about to be thwarted by the internet because she's not going to be able to put pictures of herself on the laptop, is
right?
she?
Although, actually, with those face swap apps, you can do anything, mate. So she probably actually could.
Yeah, imagine Charlotte doing, like, a sort of deep fake porno with her face.
I can see it.
Oh, poor. And I love the therapy so much, which is, well, that's a positive thing, because at least we know he's not gay.
It's like,
could you imagine them saying that now? But then again, I think that's the whole, I mean, look, as we know, with Sex and the City, some things have aged terribly.
Yeah, ironically, woke Charlotte would have something to say about that, actually. So in answer to, we always finish each episode by asking Carrie's question, are we 34 going on 13? Yes.
Yeah, we are 34 going on 13, but we do it knowing that we happily don't truly want to be 13.
And the best thing about being in your 30s is you love all the same things you loved when you were 13, but you have disposable income. Yay!
Yay!
Like, I used to have to save up for Spice Girls albums. Now I just have Spice Girls dolls and all kinds of shit all over my house.
Right.
£60 Victoria Beckham doll? Don't mind if I do.
Exactly. You can only dream at 13. Have you met a Spice Girl yet?
Okay, I've met 3 out of 5.
Nice, that's good going. I think I've done 3 out of 5. Yeah, I'm 3 out of 5 as well.
Wow. I've met Mel C.
Oh, she's fab. She's like the most, like, friendly online. She chats to everyone. She's wicked.
Mel C, and I will say this, I'm happy to go on record as saying Mel C is the loveliest of the Spice Girls. And definitely the one you would want to go out for a drink with post lockdown.
One time I was at an awards ceremony, and I was sat on the same table with Emma Bunton, like, and I couldn't talk to her. And she was super smiley and super friendly, but I couldn't chat to her. I was just sort of like, hi.
That's why I can't meet Victoria, because it's too much. Like, kind of, she was the one that I loved her the most. And she sends me, clearly Victoria Beckham personally, sends me t-shirts every once in a while, like when they do the charity Victoria Beckham t-shirts.
Okay.
And I'm just like, what should I say? Thank you to Victoria. I don't really know what is happening.
That's 13. That's great for 13-year-old you. That's you. That's you retreating. That's 13-year-old you, but staying very happily in 30-something you. So yeah, we are 34, going on 13, but always happy to go back.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we cleared that one up. Clara, thank you so much for coming on. So I Got to Thinking.
My absolute pleasure. It's been lovely. Look, I could talk about these episodes all day long. Keep your eyes peeled, because it's looking like, because we all have no lives, my drunken Sex and City quiz will be returning to Instagram Live. If you
yes.
don't know, if you don't know, the receipts are all over my gram. Because what else is there to do but ask, you know? Let me quiz you on a question whilst I'm here. All right, okay. What was the alcohol brand that Smith Gerrard promoted that put him on the map before he became a big old movie star? Because
it was the Absolute Hunk, Absolute Vodka.
Ding, ding, ding. 10 points for Juno. You get to play again another day. Thanks, Hans.
Please do join us next week when we will be watching Season 3, Episode 16, Frenemies, with special guest Caroline O'Donoghue. Until then, you can find us at SIGTT Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Clara, this is your moment to plug anything. Do you, what would you like to plug, Clara?
Do you check out my podcast? It's called This City. It's all about people's...
And it's very, very good.
Thank you so very much. It's all about people's relationships with London. Previous guests have included the glorious Emenike, Jay Thirlwall from Little Mix, Louis Theroux. But yeah, you can check out my podcast and listen to me on Radio 1, where I'm playing, you know, most of your chart faves, Monday to Thursday from 10:30.
It sounds just a personal thank you from me to you and the Radio 1 DJs, because actually you consistently being on, even during the worst of the lockdown, did slightly keep me sane. Listening to you and Greg in the morning, I was like, well, at least Greg and Clara are still there. It's not the end of the world.
Anytime you want to hear your favourite Top 40 jam, you know where we are, you know?
Thank you very much. We'll see you soon, Clara. Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.